Luke 9:23-25 read, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. As always, I am your host, Pastor Bryce. Today I have with me genuinely a very good friend, and we've known each other for a number of years. You are listening to this, probably already know this man. It is Nate Van Cleve. Nate, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Nate, I think everybody probably knows you already. However, whenever we have someone new on the podcast, I do like to ask them just really quickly. Number one, briefly, how did you come to know Christ? And number two, how did you end up at Faith Bible Church?
Sure. So I came to Christ through a miniature golf course that's no longer open called Midget Links. Mm. People who are from Evansville will remember it on Morgan Avenue. The reason that it was instrumental was my grandmother had said that she would take me when I was 9 years old, that she would take me to Midget Links to play golf if I went to vacation Bible school that year. I grew up in church and I agreed, you know, to go to vacation Bible school. I had a great time. And I can still remember very clearly the dot matrix printed out verse of John 3:16, page after page, printed in a banner form on the wall, and the teacher teaching from it. And I'd heard it many times. I realized that I knew the truth of John 3:16 to be true. I agreed that it was absolutely true. But it had never been something that personally affected me, and nothing that I had personally placed my faith in. It was at that time that I put my faith in Christ, and got to continue to use that church and my grandparents and my family to grow. Fast forward many years to about 7 years ago, started coming to Faith Bible Church. I had recently returned from living overseas, had come to the area. Knew somebody that had been at this church, and one of my new neighbors at my house was Dan Gielock, and he helped himself into my house and just walked into my house and said, "Hello, neighbor." I'm like, "Who are you? You want to come to church?" I put two and two together and ended up at Faith Bible. So many people have similar stories of how they've come to Faith Bible through Dan.
Walking boldness. Into their house.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. And we are continuing our quarter on discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and follow him? And last week on the podcast, we looked at, quote, an alternative path. And this is Jesus when he says, whoever would save his life. So that is an option. Someone can save their life, not be a disciple, try to save their life. And today we're looking at an alternative ending. Where does that path lead? The way Jesus puts it is, will lose it. There's an irony here. It's kind of funny having you on the podcast for this episode in the sense that we couldn't be more different maybe in the terms of risk aversion. I'm about the most risk averse person who exists maybe in this church. I don't like risk. I love reading about risk. That's nice and safe and fun. And God pushes me to risks. So I'm kind of risk averse. You've taken a number of risks in your life. And so we are wired quite differently here. The irony in Jesus saying here in Luke 9 is that those who perhaps are risk averse and would like to save their life, I don't want to lose my life. I don't want to deny myself. I want to save my life like we talked about last week. What Jesus says is there's an irony because those who do that, who put the most effort into saving their life, are the very ones who will lose it. In other words, that is incredibly risky not to give everything up for Jesus. That leads me to this first question I wanted to ask you, Nate. What exactly does Jesus mean by this warning? What does he mean when he says those who try to save their life will end up losing it?
Yeah, certainly there are many aspects to it. I think you and I have talked about that with the losing of it. There's an aspect related to the future and future judgment, and an aspect to it that we experience now parts of it that we can lose.
Yeah, and I mean, we had talked about even just before we started recording here today. Yeah, we are ultimately talking about hell. So to lose your life, in this case, it is talking about judgment. And you had made a comment just about how heavy a subject hell is. It's even difficult to talk about something this heavy. I mean, so how serious is a warning like this one when Jesus is talking to people and he's saying, hey, if you want to save your life, if you don't want to be my disciple, you'd rather live your own life in your own way. Just know that the outcome of that way of living is you lose it in an eternal sense. How serious, how weighty is this exactly?
Yeah, as we said, it's too weighty to even appropriately feel and think on the weight of it. And I say appropriately because it is so large and so heavy that it is hard to comprehend and hard to feel. You know, immediately my mind starts to think about the rich man and Lazarus, and how the rich man in his lifetime was enjoying all of the fruits of his riches. And Lazarus, on the other hand, was not, and that was certainly by his choice. But the rich man in this life got his rewards, got his gains, got his benefits. And then we know that he was not placing his faith in God and living a righteous life because he then ends up separated from God for all eternity. And he is begging with all earnestness to have Lazarus, you know, dip his hand in water in his tongue, or for his family members to be spoken to avoid this. So you see this picture in the account given by Jesus of this rich man who is now experiencing this loss. Mm-hmm. He had all of his gains in this lifetime, and because of his sin and not placing his faith in God, he's now experiencing having lost his life for the rest of eternity. Mm-hmm.
What a great example, too, because you think of that man, that rich man in the parable. He was doing the things which come naturally to all of us. All of us want pleasure, you know, so he dressed himself in comfortable linens. So that's pleasurable. He feasted, it said. He feasted regularly, which is a contrast to Lazarus eating scraps. But see, we all want that. We have this natural desire for food and water and pleasure. So that's such a natural thing. And so it almost would make sense to us that then that's the way we should live. We should make it our main priority to preserve our physical lives, satisfy our natural appetites. I mean, that just makes sense. Lately been reading some of the classics again, like the Iliad. And that's the way everybody's functioning there. You know, rah-rah, honor, kill some people, take some treasures, steal some women. I mean, it's all so natural, these natural appetites, and hence there's all this infighting going on. So that seems very normal to us. I think the irony in Jesus' statement is, if you go directly at all the things built in naturally, life, preservation of life, comfort. I mean, in modern terms, you know, you got your security system, you've got your social net, you've got fallback plan, you got your 401k. If you make that what your whole life's about, safety, preservation, pleasure, then for eternity, you'll have none of those things. I think that's what's so shocking about Jesus' statement is that's why whoever seeks to save his life loses it. That's what you were trying your best to do, pleasure forever. And it was actually because you did that instead of following Christ that you will lose pleasure forever, which is very much a shocking thing. Now, as I think about these words of Jesus, you already mentioned before that there are different ways to look at this. Of course, the primary meaning is this future judgment. We'll lose it in the future eternally. However, I can't help but think of also a way this relates to the present, because there is a sense in which those who do not follow Christ, so try to save their own life, not going to follow Jesus, they also miss out on what is really life itself, even now. I mean, Jesus said that when he said he came to give life and give it abundantly. That's future eternal life. But eternal life starts right now, knowing God, knowing Jesus. So that's my second question for you. What does this life look like that Jesus offers us even here and now? What is it, in other words, that unbelievers are missing out on now by trying to save their lives?
Yeah, this is, one that we experience, I think, more richly now in the current, our current living. And so just have a little more experience with this. John 10:10 says, Jesus says that I've come that they may have life and have life abundantly. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. And so Christ offers us this abundant life. And that's part of what we are starting to lose out on is that abundant life when we are not putting up our, storing our treasures in heaven. One of my favorite parables, and it almost feels silly to call it a parable because it's only one verse, but it's in Matthew 13:44. And it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and he sells all that he has, and he buys that field." So the value of the treasure, the joy in the treasure, is far greater. It's a no-brainer decision for him to liquidate everything that he has, sell his house, sell his car, empty the bank account, because this is a fantastic, unbelievable deal to go and to partake in the kingdom of heaven. That is the kind of joy that that's the kind of joy that we are missing out on when we hold on to the things that we value and say, "Oh, I'm not going to buy that field. I'll buy part of that field, by selling some of my things." And so as we give up some of the things that we hold on to, instead of relinquishing all of them to him, instead of not trying to save our life, when we do, we are willing to give up for him. That's the kind of joy that we're getting, the abundant life that we're getting.
Now, this follow-up question that goes right along with what you're saying right now is not in the notes, so this is a curveball. Good luck. And it is this. So as you're talking, a life of abundant joy, and kind of unexpected because it's those who are losing their life, they're gaining a life of abundant joy. What, that didn't seem like it would lead to that. One application of this, certainly not the only one, but a clear one, is in the case of missions. Because in missions, you uproot and go somewhere else. It's just the nature of it to bring the gospel somewhere else. And certainly there are some things appealing even to a natural person in missions if someone likes traveling and adventure and so forth. But there's also just a large number of sacrifices that are necessary for any effective missionary work. So as we're looking at this, you yourself have done missions in the past and made some of those sacrifices. I believe it was David Livingstone who had made many sacrifices to bring the gospel to others and was asked about it, and he said, "I never made a sacrifice." At that point, he was saying, technically he'd made sacrifices to be a missionary, but the rewards, even in this life, the joy that he felt, more than made up for the sacrifices. Did you find that in your own life as you were doing missions work, or how did that look for you?
Yes, absolutely. So the parable that I just mentioned was instrumental in me going overseas in this kind of John Piper risk is right attitude, because it's nothing to give up those things because of what we're gaining. Along those same lines, the missionary Jim Elliot and his famous quote, "He is no fool to give up what he cannot gain to gain what he cannot lose." When you look at it in those terms, it's like, yeah, of course, this is not a problem, not a thing to not see my family for years at a time, to get sick, many, many times, to miss out on the times with the friends, and, the list goes on and on. But it's like, you don't think about that list because it's just so great, living this out. A quote that comes to mind as well, and listeners will recognize it, from C.S. Lewis, says, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. So we hold on to the drink, we hold on to the sex, we hold on to the ambition, when in fact there is this infinite joy. We continue to play with our mud pies on the street when we could be, you know, on a vacation at the sea. We are far too easily pleased.
Mm. Well, speaking from the side of risk aversion, it reminds me, in my mind, when I was a kid in California, we would go to the swimming pool, public swimming pool outdoors. It's usually warm in Southern California there. But I remember getting into that pool, it was always cold. And most people would just jump in. And I almost never could, you know, I mean, it's just, I don't know, I was too scared of the sensation of being covered in cold so quickly. And so instead, what you do is try to tiptoe your way in. And it's just a long, excruciating experience of becoming more and more cold. Whereas the few times I had the bravery of just jumping in, you have just 1 second of a rush of ouch, and then you acclimate really quickly. And it seems like the Christian life is very much this way. If you resist Christ's call to give everything up to him and surrender to him, whether that be in something like missions or just in your life in general as a Christian, it's hard to kick against the goads. It makes life so much more difficult. In fact, if we don't ultimately give up even, we lose our life. Whereas, as scary as it is, risk is right. And taking the risk to jump into Christ's arms, which he's offering us salvation, but to take that risk out of my old way of life into this new way of life, and who knows what it's going to be like, and there will be sacrifices, and you end up finding things are so much better on the other side of that. It's really surprising. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Nate, for being here and helping us understand this.
My pleasure.
You who are listening to this, maybe you also are risk averse, and maybe that's been hindering you from being willing to risk your life and give it up to follow Christ. Whatever the case in the past might be, may God help us all now to think this way.